So a lot of things, of course, in the parasha. But in Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaptet, Vayomer Moshe Lehovav Ben Reuel, Hamidyani, Hoten Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu has a conversation with his father-in-law. The Torah tells us that the name of his father was Hovav.
He changed from...
changed his name. His name was Yitro originally. Now he became Hovav. They say Yitro had seven names. They say because he had seven girls. Every time he had another girl, he changed his name. He made Shinui Hashem.
I don't know he was Syrian.
Hobab, Rashi says, Hobab, who Yitro? So it's Yitro. Shne'emar, mebenei Hobab Hoten Moshe. In the Nevi'im, in the book of Shofetim, it says, Hobab Hoten Moshe. So you see, Hobab is Yitro. Umatamud Omar Batavon El Re'u'el. So the Pasuk also calls him Re'u'el. There are a lot of names. When Moshe Rabbeinu met the girls at the well, it says the girls went home to their father, the Yoel. That's another name. Melamed shetinokot kurim le'abi abihen abba. So they, some say that they was their grandfather. Abi abihen. Their grandfather was the Yoel. So some people call their grandfather
like a father.
Ushemot arbe hayulo. You throw out many names. Yitro al shem sheyiter parasha achat b'Torah. Yitro melashon yiter, because an extra parasha in the Torah came on the account of him. He was the one that told Moshe Rabbeinu about the judges. So by telling Moshe about the judges, a whole chapter was added in the Torah, because he gave him the advice. The Torah writes that chapter. So Yitro yiter, Hobab al shechibeb et haTorah. So here it's calling him Hobab. Why Hobab? Habib at the Torah.
Habob.
Habib. Love the Torah. Now it calls him Hobab. So, Vayumen Moshe Lehobab bin Reuel Midyani. Oten Moshe. There's a lot of names over here. He tells him Hobab because... why now does it call him Hobab? What happened now? They changed the name to Hobab. Well, they used it. They used it for the first time. Ben Re'u'el Midyani, and then at the end it says, Hoten Moshe. So it gives us his whole history. He's Hobab, the son of Re'u'el, who's Midyani, Hoten Moshe. Side question. This has nothing to do with the Derash. Side question. Yitro is a convert, as you know. There's a big question on the legality of the conversion of Yitro. Is Yitro's conversion even legal? Is it acceptable? What should be the problem? The halakha says that when Mashiach comes, or for example, in the times of David HaMelech, they did not accept converts. The Rambam writes that in the times of David and Shlomo, they didn't accept converts. Why? Because the good fortune was shining on Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was on top of the world. So the Hakamim believe that the converts are not coming L'Shem Shamayim. They're coming because they want to have the Beit HaMikdash and all the goodies. You know, the convert has to come because he wants to join Klal Yisrael. So, it's why you question when a convert wants to join our community. So, do you really want to be a convert? Go to B'nai Berak. But he says, if you join us, you get a house in Brooklyn, you get a house in Deal, you get a house in Florida. It's, so you're wondering, what's the motivation of the conversion? You're doing it so he could get all the perks? She can get all the perks? She wanted the perks of Judaism, so go live in Me'a Shearim. So you have to question the motivation. Why would somebody convert to come here? Nonetheless, the Gemara says that in the times of David and Melech, they didn't accept converts, and Rambam writes it as well, because they were skeptical of their motivation. Why were they coming? So then that puts Yitro's conversion on the great inquiry, because Yitro joins Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah. Mefarshim say that he converts, after Matan Torah. So if he converts after Matan Torah, he's doing it because of the glory. Here, Klal Yisrael just toppled the Egyptian Empire. They just received the Torah from God. God says that they're the chosen nation. And Yitro comes along and says, "Okay, I'm in." So you can say, "Oh, now you're coming." That doesn't count now. If you would have came before, so maybe we would have accepted you. So Stan, that's a question. Hatam Sofer asked that question. The legality of Yitro's conversion. So he says a big hadush. He says a phenomenal hadush. He says that Hatam Sofer says that before Yitro converted, he made a conversion before Matan Torah. He made a conversion even before, he says. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Midian and he influenced him over there, when he married his daughter. So already at that time Yitro was left the church. But he says there's a difference between the conversion of before Matan Torah and then the conversion after Matan Torah, which after Matan Torah has to make a new conversion. Now it's a Matan Torah, it's a different program. He says, so what's the difference between the two conversions? He says there's a law that says ger shenet gayer ke katan shenolad damer, that a convert that converts, he's like he's just born again. Do you understand what that means?
That's where they got that saying, born again.
Born again, exactly. A convert, when he comes out of the mikveh, he has no connection to anybody. He's like he's just born. Came out of the mother's womb again. To the extent, according to the Gemara, technically, if a brother and a sister convert, they can marry each other. Because they're not related to each other. It's like they're born again. You know what I just said?
No.
Now they're going to come along and say, Rabbi Mansour said, a brother and sister can marry each other. Now they're going to come along. That now became fashionable for people to talk like this. They'll say, Rabbi Mansour said, the other guy said, two men. And Rabbi saying, brother and sister. So what's the difference between him and him? The same item. He's talking about this. He's talking about incest. So what's the difference? I'm saying, Menat Torah. What's the reason? If they convert, why? Because Gershonet Gayer. That's the way they explain Yaakov Abinu marrying two sisters. How did Yaakov Abinu marry two sisters? So the explanation they say is like this now. That Yitro converted before Matan Torah, that's true. He converted before Matan Torah. But before Matan Torah, that rule of Kekatan Chenolad Dameh doesn't apply. You converted. You're a convert, but you still have your connections. Once he made the conversion after Matan Torah, now already that's the real conversion of Kekatan Chenolad Dameh. That can only happen after Matan Torah, he says. You understand? So therefore, before Matan Torah, it was a big status for Yitro to convert. He's the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. Father of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have status, you have all the kavod, and all the glory, and all this business over here. Mashiach, and after he converts, he loses his status now. Because if you say katanche nolada, after the second conversion, after Matan Torah, he's not related to Moshe anymore. You understand? He loses that on his resume. He cannot say father-in-law of Moshe. He's not the father of Moshe anymore. So Adraba, the conversion is a downgrade. So you can't say, oh, he's converting for the glory. What glory? Before I converted, I have a connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now that I convert, there's zero connection between Moshe and Yitro. He's just another convert.
Fresh.
Huh?
Fresh. Like
fresh, exactly. Hi, my name is Yitro. My name is Moshe. Nice to meet you. I used to be your father. you were the guy. Yeah, you looked familiar. But I just converted now after Matan Torah. I don't have to stand up for you anymore. He doesn't have to call him dad anymore. All that, whatever the laws of father-in-law is, he doesn't have to hate him anymore. all the laws that apply to people and their fathers-in-law doesn't apply anymore now. You understand? So therefore, when he converts, he says, it must be L'Shem Shammai. He knows he's going to lose something. Huh? Where did he call him Hamoto? Show me, where does it say that? You don't know, but you ask the question. You have to know if you're asking questions. So the Pasuk says over here, Vayomer Moshe Lehobab. Now his name becomes Hobab for the first time. Now she says, why? Shechibeb et Torah. At this point, over after Matan Torah, Yitro shows his loyalty to Torah, so they give him a new name, Yehobab. Who's Hobab? Ben Reuel, the son of Reuel, Hamidyani, and then it says Hoten Moshe, which means the Hoten Moshe is only connected to the Midyani. Only at the Midyani, when he was in the Midyani area, he's Hoten Moshe. But now there's no more Midyani. The Hoten Moshe is written next to Midyani, but it's not written. It should say Vayomer Moshe leHovav Hoten Moshe. No, Hobab is not Chotem Moshe. Hobab is a different guy. Hobab is the Midyani. That's the connection to Chotem Moshe. But that's not happening now at this point over here. So that's a stam, a legal question on Yitro's conversion. Why do we say that it was accepted?
It was a downgrade.
Chazak Baruch, it was a downgrade. All right. Nosi'im anachnu. So what does Moshe tell his father-in-law or his former father-in-law? Nosi'im anachnu el makom asher amar Hashem oto eten lachem. We're going to the promised land. Now, they didn't know that they're going to get delayed at this point. She says, miyad, we're going from here to Israel. We have a direct flight. They were expecting to get to Israel in 3 days. Now, of course, there's going to be a sin that's going to happen that's going to delay them. But the plan was to go right in. Understand so far? So what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yitro? Lecha itanu. Ve'etavnu lach. Ki Hashem dibir tov al Yisrael. Join us. Fadda, Baruch Abba. He's giving Yitro an invitation. Lecha itanu. Ve'tavnu lach. What is ve'tavnu lach? Yeah, we'll give you all the all the benefits. Ki Hashem dibir tov al Yisrael. Because a lot of good things are going to happen to Yisrael. So if you come with us, you're part of us, there's going to be a lot of
good.
A lot of good things coming down the pipe. Although it sounds a little strange. He says, Lecha itanu, come with us. Ki Hashem dibir tov al Yisrael. The The way I explained it to you is because God said it to do good to you. So therefore, if you're with us, you know, whoever's with us gets all the benefits as well. Understand? But it sounds like it's two different things. It sounds like when you read the text, Lecha itanu ve'tavnu lach. You come with us and we'll do good to you. Ki Hashem divir tov haYisrael. So the Mekubalim explain over here, they have a derash on this. And they come along and they say, well, there's a Kli Yakar over here, by the way. There's a Kli Yakar. He asked these questions also. So he writes over here, not the Kli Yakar, but the Mekubalim write, that there's a special kavanah that we have in the Amidah. In the Amidah we say, Gomel Hasadim Tobim, Kone Hakol. So what is this business? Gomel Hasadim Tobim. God does good kindnesses. And then we say, Kone Hakol. What does it mean, good kindness? Is there such a thing as a bad kindness? What does it mean, hasadim tobim? There's hasadim ra'im? So the Arizal explains that the hasadim come from the name of God of Ayin Bet, Shem Ayin Bet. Shem Ayin Bet is the Shem of Hesed. Hesed, incidentally, is how much gematria?
72.
It's 72? So Chesed is also 72. No coincidence, because since it's coming from the Shem Ayin Bet, so therefore it's the same gematria. That's Chesed, 72. But he writes the Arizal that of the 72 Hasadim, 55 of them, Fenil Adu, they go to everybody. Everybody can tap into 55 of the Hasadim. But 17 of them are exclusive to Klal Yisrael. So out of the 72, there's a breakdown. 55 plus 17. What's 55 plus 17? 72. But there's a breakdown. So the Arizal learns in the Amidah like this. Gomel Hasadim to Klal Yisrael Tovim. Tov. Tov is 17. Clients there, they get 17 notes. Those are exclusive hasadim. And Koneh Hakol. Hakol is how much? Hechaf Lamed, it's 55. So that's the breakdown. There's Hasadim Tobim and there's Koneh Hakol. The 55, anybody can access. So Moshe Rabbeinu was inviting Yitro to join, so he has to be honest with him. He has to tell him, listen, you know, you're going to join us for all the hasadim, but we cannot guarantee you all the hasadim. We can give you 55, but of course the 17 just belongs to Klais. If he's inviting him, he has to tell him what his limitations are. I can't just tell Baruch Abba, hey, you invited me, you're not giving me... So he tells him like this. Nosi'im anach olam makom asher amar Hashem oto etten lachem lecha itanu. Lecha, the way the Torah spells lecha itanu, lam mitchafeh. Licha itano, which means we have 55 lamed chaf he vetavnu lach that we can give you. However, ki Hashem diber tov, but the tov is Al Yisrael. That's for the Jewish people. We can't give you the tov. That's gomel hasadim tovim is for clients. But so what? For 55.
Not bad.
It's better than he has, going back home to Midian. So Yitro should come along and then say, Amen. There's nothing to talk about. What should be the hesitation? Understand the question?
Right.
He has 55, but if he stays with them, he'll get the extra 17 million.
No, maybe. Probably not.
But did he hesitate?
Vayomer Elav, Yitro answers back. To Moshe, lo elech.
Oh, wow.
I'm out. Lo elech. I'm not coming. If we're not satisfied, why shouldn't he go? Kim el arsi vel moledeti elech. I'm going home. Unbelievable.
If he converts, he doesn't have access.
He converted. He converted. No, no.
He still doesn't get 17.
That's it. He doesn't get the debate about Yisrael. You got to be Yisrael to get the 17.
He's retracting now.
And not retracting anything. Yitro answers the question. Leave that now. The 17 to 55. Now we're going further. Get stuck in the ending there. I'm not going. Finish. I'm not going. I'm staying home. And that would have been enough, by the way. But he repeats again. I'm going back home. Obviously, if you're not coming with us, you're going home. No, if you tell me I'm in the shul, you tell me, Hakam, I'm going to deal. And I tell you, lo elech. Okay, let me hear what am I have to say. Lo elech. Ki'im il Brooklyn elech. What's the depth over here? What is the depth? What is the depth of Yitro's answer? Yitro obviously was a very, very, very bright man. He was a scholar. I mean, obviously he had tremendous chokhmah, Yitro. Look at Yitro. It says, Sheyiter parasha had batorah. The Yitro was able to mechaven to the parasha of the Dayanim.
He made a whole plan for Moshe.
And that plan was confirmed by God.
Wow.
Which is, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it because Yitro told him. Yitro cannot make a mitzvah. But God got confirmed it. That means Yitro was able to mechaven to the whole system. So obviously he was a tremendous, tremendous hacham. Imagine you could teach Moshe something. Who could teach Moshe anything? Moshe Rabbeinu is a bunch of trivia question. Moshe Rabbeinu taught the whole Torah to Kaiser. Who's the only one that ever taught Moshe something? Yitro. And he was right. So you see Yitro's, Rav Rabbanan. He's a rabbi of rabbis. And so the name Yitro is significant. Yiter parasha achat b'shilo b'Torah. There's many pesukim. You have a parasha named after. It's not a small thing. So, the famous Gemara that we've been quoting. The Gemara says that a Rav has to be dome le malach. If the Rav is dome le malach, the rabbi is similar to an angel, so then you should learn Torah by him. But if the Rav is not dome le malach, Torah al yibakesh mepiyu, then you shouldn't. You shouldn't study Torah by him. So when you're looking for a rabbi, you actually have to look for a rabbi that's an angel. So how are you going to know if the rabbi is an angel? So the Mefarshim say, Chamizda Atiyah writes as well, in this week's Haftarah, we read the Haftarah of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. And the Pasuk says over here that Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, he has a revelation. And what is the revelation? The Pasuk writes, the beginning of the Haftarah, Kuamar Hashem, if you follow my ways, Begam Atat Adin Et Beti, the proper judgments, Begam Tishmon Hatserai, Venatati Lecha Malachim Ben Ha'omdim Ha'ele. It's Pasuk Zayin. What does it mean, "Venatati lecha mahalachim"? Kishehiyu ametim na'atid, when God makes tehiyat ametim, ta'amud b'tchiyah, you're going to also rise up. Ve'etem lecha mahalachim ben serafim u'malachei asheret she'en lahem yeshiva. which means there's going to be mahalachim, which is the human beings that are going to rise up for Tehiyat HaMetim. That's the humans that are called mahalachim. They're going to rise up for Tehiyat HaMetim. Ben HaOmdim, that's the angels that always remain. They don't have Tehiyat HaMetim. They're always there. So the Pasuk refers to human beings as mahalachim, and it refers to angels as Omdim. You following so far or no? So the Haftarah talks about mahalachim and Omdim. So the Hakamim say, why is a human being called a mahalach? So according to the Haftarah, it's because they're going to rise up for Tirat HaMetim. They move. Now they're resting. Right? Yishene Afar. What's going to happen one day? They're going to move out of their grave. That's a mahalach. They're going to move. Whereas an angel, not moving anyway. He's alive. He doesn't die. He doesn't expire. And if he expires, he doesn't come back. So therefore they're called Omdim. But there's another explanation that they say based on the Gaon de Vilna, that a mehalech represents somebody that has the ability to move up. Holech. Holech means you're in flux, you're in movement, spiritual movement. Human beings are always mehalech, hopefully moving up, but they can also move down. Human beings have the ability to change their status. It's like a mountain. You can be holech and holech, 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 and you can keep on going higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. Whereas an angel is called what? Omed. Meaning what? Hazak Baruch Sam, gorgeous word, stagnant. Whatever level the angel is created on, that's his level. There's nothing he can do to become a better angel. That's the malah. He is what he is. He has no free will. So his status really doesn't fluctuate. It's like a stationary bicycle. You pedal, you pedal, you pedal, you're still in the same spot. But human beings, it's not a stationary bicycle. You move, you move, you move, you even got to a different destination. So that's a very important lesson over here. Human beings should not be like an angel in this case. We don't want humans to be omdim. If you're in omed, that means you're stagnant. You know what that would mean like? You see somebody in the ocean or in the swimming pool, doesn't matter, and he's just treading water. That's not the purpose. Swim. Move. Treading water means you're not gaining any territory. You're just maintaining. That's an angel. The angel treads. He's in the same spot. Moving, 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 moving. You didn't get anywhere. That's the angel is running on a treadmill. He's running. At the end of the day, it says he ran 15 miles. Where is he? He's still in the health club in the center. He didn't get anywhere. He's in the same spot. He didn't move anywhere. But human beings, they move. Every year you're supposed to be on a different madriga than you were before. So it's not good for a human to be an angel. So if somebody ever compliments you, oh, my son is like an angel. No, that's not a compliment. That's basically you're saying, my son is stagnant. My son is stuck in the mud. My son is, you have to say, oh, my son's a human being. Oh, human being. Hazak Baruch. Baruch. That's the status of human beings that are higher than angels. You want your wife's spending habits to be like an angel. That you need to be omed. If you say your wife is like an angel, that's a big compliment. She's stagnant. There's no.
We want regression.
You want regression. Don't be greedy. Yes, he'll take status. Hazak Baruch. Now that David's a married man, he can talk again. Baruch Abba. You're with us again, David. Baruch Abba. He's one of the boys again. He's back. Anyway, so that's not a compliment that when you tell a human being he's an angel. Unless he's your rabbi. If he's your rabbi, then it's a compliment to call him an angel. Because the Gemara says your rabbi has to be an angel. Now that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. What do you mean, rabbi has to be an angel?
Then
he's not growing. No. The explanation is like this. A rabbi has a dilemma, a debacle. What's the dilemma of the rav? It's like this. Either I could sit in the Bet Midrash and learn all day long, which clearly will grow the rabbi, because when you're learning, you're growing. Or I could come to the shul and tell over things that I already know. So I'm not really gaining too much, but I know it already. But what? The student will benefit. But the Rav, basically, what he's giving over, he's treading. Because he knows it already. So when the Rav comes out of the class, everybody walks out, whoa, al-hadushim, they say, Rav, what did you get out of it?
Nothing.
I knew it already, basically. I said it over. I got a nice feeling to say it over. They gave me, bought me a peanut butter a drink as well. It comes with the class. But besides that, I really didn't... nothing that I said, I didn't know. I mean, basically, I knew everything I said. So basically, a good Rav has to be like an angel. He has to be willing to tread water in order to benefit others. Understand?
Got it.
But if your rabbi's not an angel, if he says, I'm not time to teach, I got to go to the kollel. There's a human, because he wants to grow. But he's not willing to sacrifice his growth for the student. Wow. So in teaching, the teacher has to be a malach.
Wow. Great.
That's the hadush over here. Otherwise, the rabbi is selfish. Although he benefits, he's on a high level. But the Hakamim, the Torah says, don't go after that guy. You want a Rav that's willing to, although he might have to sacrifice his stature and stand in place, but look, you're making other people as well.
Great.
That's a very, very important yesod in teaching and so on, giving over and so on and so forth. Oh. So that's the way we explain the Gemara once. The Gemara says in Shabbat, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, and the angels protest. The angels protest. The angels come along and say, "Mali ludi shabeninu. What is this? What does he want, this fellow over here?" So Moshe, God says, he came to pick up the Torah. So the angels say, "No way! No way! No way! Torah must remain in heaven. The horn of the Torah must remain in heaven." So God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, give them an answer. They have a claim. For some reason, they think the Torah should remain in heaven. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to give an answer. Moshe Rabbeinu has to explain it. So he said, I'm worried. The angels they'll burn me with the fire that's coming out of them. The vapor. So therefore, God says, "No, hold on to the kisei hakavod and give him an answer." What's the claim of the angels, and what's Moshe Rabbeinu's answer back? What is he holding on the kisei hakavod? So based on today's derash, we explain it like this: the angels were saying, "Listen, in the Torah, what does it say? That the rabbi has to be domel malach, has to be similar to a malach." So they said, if he has to be domeh le-malach, we are a malach. So who's better, a domeh le-malach or a malach? What do you tell? No, which means, if you don't have a choice between a malach, so then you get the next best, someone that's like a malach. But if you have malachim available,
right?
You understand?
Right.
Which means, listen, if there's no malachim available, then you look for a domeh, you look for a replacement, a substitute, a pinch hitter. Which means you don't get a designated hitter if you have the real guy there. Use the real guy. He's not here. You pinch it.
Imitate it, but never duplicate.
Hazak Baruch. So therefore, the Malachim are saying, you're bringing Yilud Isha. Hey, Borelam, we're still alive. We're still alive. We're here. Which means we'll do the job. We'll teach. Give us a time. We'll teach to that the client. Say, we are Malachim, not Domeh. So that's a good claim. Moshe Rabbeinu was scared of the claim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Wow, they're burning me with that claim. That claim is burning my response. How am I going to respond to that? I'm only a domeh.
He's a malach."
So God says, "You know what the hadush is? Ask the malachim where they're standing. Ask them if they could hold on to the kisei hakavod. Well, the malach stands here. Where's the kisei hakavod? Here." Ask them, they can. Or better, don't ask them, because they obviously can't hold on to the kisei hakavod. They're stuck in their place. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're arguing with the angels. Where's Moshe arguing with the angels? On the same level. All of a sudden, God says, move up two floors, hold on to the kisei hakavod. That's the answer. God is saying, I want somebody that's a human that has the ability to move. and he's willing to go down to be like a malach.
Wow.
That's the Hiddush, which means, Hazak, well, you're an angel, you're here. That doesn't sacrifice anything.
The angel can't move on?
No! Well, what do you say for the past 20 minutes? Angels are mad. Now, yeah, you've got it now, that hit.
And there's 24 hours.
There's 24 hours in a day, we came out last week. So therefore, Sam, be careful. So now you see, the angels are here. So God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go show them, first of all, that you have the ability to go up. And even though you can reach Kisei HaKabod, you're willing to come down. That's Domeh. The Domeh is much better. The Domeh is much better. You understand how we're learning the Gemara?
As the rabbi is growing, so are the students.
Correct. But the Hiddush of that the rabbi grows, even though he can grow, he comes back down
to
the students, and therefore he sacrifices his growth. The angel doesn't sacrifice anything.
Right.
He's stuck anyway, so he's not giving up anything. Okay. That's the Hiddush of the Kisei HaKabod.
Unbelievable.
Good. So now we explain like this. Now we explain like this. Moshe Rabbeinu wants Yitro to come to Klal Yisrael. Why? Why does he want him to come to Klal Yisrael? To teach Klal Yisrael. If he could teach Moshe, he could teach Klal Yisrael, obviously, yeah? I mean, Yitro can become a phenomenal teacher. Not only that, he has some type of Hiddush that nobody else has, because he came from the other side, from the Sitra Hara. You know, who has the best influence? Somebody that was on the other side and converts. Now they come along, they make a big impact. They say, listen, I saw the other stuff. You guys don't know what you have. Bidiyuk. He tells the people, I tasted it. It's shtuyot. Otherwise, you tell the guy, what do you know? I know. I had it all. And I left it and I came here. I said, wow, tell me. This guy's, I trust this guy. A tzaddik comes along. The student says, he never tasted it. What does he know? What does he know? He was born in the Kolel, this guy. So therefore, Yitro has a great teaching value. You know, Rabbi Basu said in his Dirash that he made the other day, he said this was his Hiddush. So I say over in his name. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Ben Bagbag Omer. Today the kids, they read the Mishnah, Ben Bagbag Omer. Because they hear the song of Shweki. So they think the Mishnah says Ben Bagbag twice. They say Ben Bagbag Omer. Doesn't say Ben Bagbag twice. Ben Bagbag once. Who is Bagbag? I'll give you $1 million, you name your kid Bagbag. Who's going to do it? Sammy, having a kid, Shatova Muslahat? You call him Bagbag Flester. Finished. $1 million on the table. We'll collect it from all the Sibur. Who? Not Ben. Bagbag. Finish. Ben Bagbag. That you got to call him. You never heard the name before.
No.
So the Achamim say, why they call him Ben Bagbag? One time I was in the airport in Krakow. So we're waiting for our luggage. So Rabbi Naim is with us. With David Naim.
From Deal.
Funny. He has good wit. So we're sitting over there, we're waiting for the luggage. All of a sudden his luggage comes. He says, Ben Bagbag. Ben Bagbag. So they say, because he was a convert. Okay, he's a convert. So we have names. You're stuck with Ben Bagbag? He lost the lottery? Why do they call him Ben Bagbag? So the Tosfot explains, because the converts are really referred to, they don't have a father anymore. Because their father, they lost their relationship. So they always refer to, when they pray for a convert, his father becomes Avraham Avinu. Because he's the father of all the converts, Avraham. He's the one that brought the people back. So for example, if a guy comes in, what's your name? John. Your convert? Yeah. Pray for me. John ben Avraham. But his mother's name was Mary, and his father's name was Paul. No more. We call him now Avraham. So now Avraham Avinu, when he got upgraded, what letter did they add to his name? Eh. Now Avraham was married to Sarah. So who's the mother of every convert? It's like Sarah. What letter did they add to Sarah's name? Eh. The Yud became a Heh. Correct?
Yeah.
Bag is how much? Bet Gimel is how much? Five. That's connected to the hair of Abraham. And bag again is hair. So therefore they call him Ben Bagban. Now you're going to say, how come they don't call him Ben Hehe? Because that name was taken already. That's the next Mishnah. Ben Hehe Omer. There was a rabbi called Ben Hehe. So he took Hehe. So he said, okay, the next name, I'll take Ben Bagban. Anyway, what is Ben Bagbag? He's a convert. What does Ben Bagbag say? Fokba ba fokba de kolaba. Turn the Torah all over, turn the pages, you're going to see everything's in the Torah. What was he saying? You could go to college and you go to university and you could get a doctorate in one subject. Come to the Torah and you become an expert in everything. Everything's in the Torah, he says. All the science, all the math, all the biology, everything's in the Torah. So Rabbi Basu said, why do you need this statement to be said by a convert? It's because he saw the other side. He said, I went to the college, I went to the university, and I'm telling you, thank you. Because if a rabbi says it's all in the Torah, they might say, what does he know? Where's your diploma? What do you know from anything? You don't know what's out there. So he came along and said, listen, here's my diploma. Look at he has all the plaques on the wall. And I'm telling you all this, it's in the Torah. So the convert clearly has a tremendous credibility when it comes to, teaching. So basically Moshe is inviting Yitro to become a teacher. But what's going to happen if Yitro becomes a teacher? He stagnates. Yitro doesn't want to stagnate. Yitro would rather go home and learn himself, and therefore he'll be able to grow. Listen to what I'm telling you, honey. I know you have Hadushi. Now listen to what I'm telling you. So when Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, join us, come teach us. Vayomer elav. You know what he answers? I can't come. You know why? Lo elech. Because I'm not going to be able to elech. I'm not going to be able to move. If you're asking me to stay and teach, you're basically me to tell me you want me to stagnate. I cannot go because lo elech. I won't be able to move. Ki im el arsi ve el moladeti. But if I go home, elech. Then I can move. Then nobody bothers me. I don't have to teach these people over here. Yitro didn't know the secret of the malach. He just converted. He doesn't know everything. So that's what he said. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't give up. There's a midrash. The midrash says that they asked the question. They asked a question to one of the Hachamim. Amehalech. Somebody's walking. Ma'u dekabel alav ol malchut shamayim. Basically they were saying, can a person say the Kiryat Shema when he's walking? He wants to say Shema Yisrael as he's walking. Amehalech. So the Gemara says he cannot. To accept upon Olachut Shamayim, he has to stop in his place. However, the Gemara then says that when he gets to Ve'ahavta, when he gets to the first pasuk of Ve'ahavta, so he's allowed to. He's holich. That's the language. It says halakha and Shulchan Aruch as well. In the first pasuk of Shema, you have to be omed. You can't move any place. Lo yalech. You cannot move. However, when you get to Be'ahavtal, the pasuk of Be'ahavtal, then the pasuk says you can be holech. So the darshanim learned a lesson from this halakha. That it's true. It's true that when a person is teaching students, when a person is learning with his students, he's omer. He cannot move from his position. He's stagnant. But the Mefashim say that there's a way. There's a way that even a Rav can grow his students without sacrificing his level. He could teach students and his level will not be compromised. How? They say there's certain tzaddikim that their presence is so great that the student looks at them and the student's able to get a lot of inspiration. Even the Rav didn't say anything. When we went to visit Acham Avadia, for example, you didn't have to learn anything. You just look at the Rav sitting there learning. You came out motivated. So it's a win-win. The student grew, and the Rav didn't have to... You understand? So there is an ability in order to grow students without... by being an example, by being a role model. You understand what I'm telling you? There's certain personalities that the Yirat Shamayim is so great that you don't have to... When we met the Rebbe Moshe Feinstein, he didn't give us a class that day. We just sat and prayed with Rebbe Moshe Feinstein. He lived on the east side, on the FDR. We went up and prayed with him, Shacharit. We saw him sitting down, watching, reading the Sefer Torah, and he has the Mishnayot next to him. In between the Aliyot, he goes to the Mishnayot. He learns two Mishnayot, then he closes the book, and he hears the Sefer Torah. That means, in between the Aliyot, he doesn't waste. Now you're watching that. So the student comes out motivated. Why? Well, I want to be. But he didn't say a word to us. He was elevating himself, but meanwhile he's teaching us the same. So it is a. You understand? There is a way to be a holech and at the same time be mashpia. That's the that's the best of both worlds. Moshe Rabbeinu will argue to Yitro and tell Yitro, Yitro, you can get the best of both worlds. We're not asking you to teach anybody. We're not asking you to go and go sit and learn. But the Klai Yisrael to see a Ger Tzedek like this sitting in the Bet Midrash, you know what kind of inspiration that is for us? Everybody comes, go look at the Bet Midrash. Yitro, this guy is learning better than anybody else. And he knows he was with the other side. He was with the Pope and the Vatican and everything. So just your presence, so you'll grow, and Christ will grow as well. You understand? So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yitro, "Vayomer al na ta'azov otanu." Yitro, you can't leave us. You can't leave us. Ki al ken yadata hanotenu b'midbar. And he comes along and says, "Vehayita lanu le'enayim." What is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? "Vehayita lanu," you'll be for us. Just to look at you, le'enayim. Finish. We'll look at you. We're happy. When I ask you to do anything, le'enayim. Let us benefit from your role model. You're an example. "Vehayita lanu le'enayim." Then he tells him something else. He says, guess what? Moshe Rabbeinu gives him a secret. This is the big secret of teaching. It's not accurate what I told you before. I told you before that the Rav leaves the class, he's stagnant, and everybody else benefited. But it's not the case. Why? Because when you're learning with students, the students sharpen the Rav. You know, if I say this Devar Torah from a book and I read it and I learn it myself, it's clear. When you start to give it over and the students react to it, oh, you have to clarify it, you have to... A knife cannot sharpen itself. You need two knives to sharpen. So when the Rav comes with the Talmidim, all of a sudden you have now two knives sharpening each other. Not only one knife gets, both knives get sharpened. So there's a benefit. That's why the Gemara says... that I benefited from my students more than anyone. There's a certain koach that the Talmid gives the Rav. I saw the great Rabbanim. You know, they're talking to one person. But they're talking in front of a lot of people, the energy of the Rav all of a sudden becomes... where do they get that energy from? The student emits a certain energy to the Rav.
Inspiration.
Bidiyuk. Where the Rav now... So it's true that the Rav going in says, listen, I'm willing to stagnate. If I have to give up my level, I'll give up my level. But it doesn't usually happen that way. Usually what ends up happening is that the student, through his attention and through his comments, not in this class, but generally the comments and the feedback and the questions and the answers and all that stuff over there. So usually it becomes more clear to everybody. So the Hakamim said, listen, with Tamidai Yotem Kulam. Ba'al Lamed Benimsa Lamed. He came to teach and it comes out he's learning. That's a big cloud. There's like a reflection. The Rav actually is teaching the student, but the student's able to lift the Rav. It's a big item. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell Yitro in the last pasuk, and we're done. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell Yitro, don't worry. You're concerned that you're going to stagnate, and you're interested in growing. Therefore, you don't want to teach. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayaki telech imanu, vayaki telech." You're going to grow with us. You'll move with us. V'aya tovahu asher yitiv Hashem imanu. That good, that Torah that you're going to teach us, v'hetavnu lach. It's going to come back to you. So therefore, it's not, your assessment is wrong. You think you can only be a holech back home. It's not so. If you come to us, the tov that you're going to share with us, we're going to give it to you right back. Because the talmidim are mechazek. Mechazek the Rav. They challenge him. Therefore, the Rav can't learn alone. He has to have students around him. You see from this conversation between Yitro and Moshe Rabbeinu, you see some fundamentals in education. You see some fundamentals in how the dynamics of Torah work. And of course, the lesson to us is that you can't learn alone. The Rabbanim have to make sacrifices. The students are making the Rabbanim better. The Hakamim say that if Moshe Rabbeinu was great, it's because the generation was great as well. There's a connection between the Dor and its Rav. The generation is able to also make the Rav. That's why the Mishnah says, Perkei Avot, Aseh Lecha Rav. You make the Rav. Aseh Lecha. We make the Rav. The Rav is made already. No, Aseh, you have to make the Rav. Because the Rav is incomplete. The Rav is the Omed. But when the student comes around him and he starts to imagine, you're making the Rav into a Holech. So the Rav has to come in with the sacrifice, but it never happens that way. The Rav ends up really, he goes in as a Malach. His condition has to be, even if it's going to be stagnation, I'm willing. But in truth, he really doesn't have to worry most of the time because the elevation, as we call that in America, it's a win-win on both sides. Baruch Amen. Amen. Amen.